Aloha and welcome to the NACO Exchange Podcast. This is the Chiefs 9 Leadership Spectrum, episode part 1. We had such a great conversation during this episode that it was hard to find a place to cut, and we didn't want to cut any content for you, our audience. But don't worry, you will not need to wait a couple weeks for the next episode. The next episode will actually drop next week, July 22nd. Please enjoy the episode and tune in next week for the conclusion.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Chiefs 9 podcast. Today we're going to be talking about leadership spectrum, and I'm super excited. So grab your coffee, your water, sit back, relax, and enjoy. But I'd first like to introduce our two guests. We have Sergeant Alcala and Senior Master Sergeant Barrientes. And so I'll let them introduce themselves here.
Hi, I am Staff Sergeant Angelica Alcala. I'm with the 298th RTI, Multifunctional Training Regiment.
Hello, everybody. I'm Senior Master Sergeant Barrientes. I'm over at the 154th Comptroller Flight. I'm the superintendent there.
Aloha. I'm Jeff Hickman. I'm the Public Affairs Officer, and you are?
I'm Chief Fox, if you don't already know. All right, so let's get started with maybe if you guys can share your guard story. I'd like to start with you, Sergeant Alcala.
Okay, thank you. I enlisted with the Hawaii Army National Guard in January 2011, which is a little over 13 years ago, for the school benefits, and also to get a part-time job because I was going to school full-time for my undergrad. And shortly after that, going to AIT, my first unit of experience was Charlie Medical, 29th Brigade Support Battalion. And from there is where I really experienced my first line of senior leadership that provided me the trust, the purpose, motivation, and direction and transparency when you're entering as a junior soldier into the Army or the military in general. From there, I reclassified as a human resource specialist, which I currently still am and hold the MOS. And under that as a HR, I was able to take on an assignment at Fort Huachuca, Arizona as a liaison sergeant for like 15 months. And there is where I really developed the interest in becoming an instructor. And from there, it took some time for me to get where I am today with 298th RTI as an instructor, but also as part of my development over the years coming there. After experiencing my time with Fort Huachuca and really being involved with soldiers there, there are soldiers that goes through the pipeline, new soldiers that get trained up for their MOS and some that gets reclassed. And my time with them, it really gained the interest of being that instructor, being involved in their development, their professional growth. And then coming back, really wanted to give back what was given to me at Charlie Med. And now that I'm with the 93rd SERF-P as a budget analyst, it gives me more of that one-on-one, now at the joint level, because we also work with the airmen as a 93rd SERF-P.
Wow, what a great diverse background. So can I ask you something?
Yes.
Can you spell Fort Huachuca?
Fort Huachuca? F-O-R-T.
I'm kidding. Thank you for sharing your guard story. Thank That's you. Amazing. Sergeant Barrientes.
Yeah. So I joined in 2009 from the Texas Air National Guard over at the 149 unit. They're a fighter wing over there. So I joined in finance, and I've been doing finance since. So went through all the different subject matter areas. We were talking about military pay, travel pay, accounting, you know, those type of things. So I've done it all. And then I got in 2014, I moved into the quality assurance program where I was a quality assurance manager. And I did that all the way up till 2018 when a job opportunity came available in Hawaii. Had no intentions to ever leaving. We were set up, the family and I were set up there. But it was actually really interesting. Came home one day and asked the wife, hey, what do you feel about going to Hawaii? She's like, on a trip? That sounds amazing. Let's do it, right? And I was like, no, like moving. And she was like, excuse me? We had everything set up. Like if we were stayed in San Antonio, I'd probably be in the same position that I'm at now. Rank-wise, she'd be actually furthering her career. She was a teacher. But instead of one thing that kind of resonated with me, that I took away from having a conversation with an individual that was actually working here, was that although as appealing as Hawaii is, right, a lot of people are actually very scared to make the move. It's a lifestyle change. And the one thing that resonated with that conversation was, I don't ever want to make a decision because I was scared to make that jump. So we talked about it, my wife and I, and ended up coming with, we want to approach life more as a journey, as an experience. And this was never a part of the plan, but we'll make it work. So we ended up deciding to make the move, and we came out here. Initially, I came in as one of the NCOIC leads for one of the sections, and then roomed me to eventually take over as a superintendent now. With that, I've had various job opportunities, but additional duty opportunities with working with the National Guard Bureau of Finance. I play a major role with the quality assurance program and shaping what that looks like. We have a lot of great things that we're working on to kind of shape the career field. With that, I actually instruct as well. I have a passion for that. I think I kind of grew that very early on, playing sports and wanting to coach and all that stuff. So same idea, right? Mentoring, coaching, leading, shaping the future leaders for tomorrow. I do that very heavily within our career field. And with that as well, I play a role with SAF FM directly and helping them on some initiatives for their National Guard as from a FM career field standpoint. So play a lot of different roles. I keep my foot on the gas pedal as much as possible because I don't ever want to get to a point where I feel content. Content when I feel like that sets in, I know what I am and what that looks like, and I don't like it. So I always kind of make sure I always have goals and plans. So just a kind of quick summary, that's kind of what you see in front of you now. And I'm sure we'll be able to kind of talk about some of those experiences as we move along.
Lots of experience.
Amazing. And thanks for all the work that you do at the National Guard Bureau level, because that only adds value to our state.
So exactly.
Thank you for all the work that you do there. So Jeff, do you want to kick off the first question?
Yeah, one of the first questions is, we wanted to talk about the range of leadership styles. What's worked for you guys? You know, just did a little bit of research for this, and there's all the buzzwords on there about, you know, democratic, transformational, autocratic. There's different ways and different words to describe leadership techniques. And both of you being instructors, that kind of helps too. So what leadership techniques do you guys use and you find the most effective?
For me, it all depends on the situation because everybody communicates differently. Everybody learns differently. Everybody receives differently. And when you're a soldier, the tempo changes. And when you're as an instructor, the soldiers usually come in as they don't know what to expect. They're just there. You know, I want to be here. Do I want to be here? Do I not want to be here? And so for me, I give them that opportunity to slowly open up. Because I don't like to be hardcore, like a drill sergeant, what, you know, hardcore. You have all these hard expectations, you know. But when you're at the basic leader course, you're giving them that opportunity to open up to you because you're also with them for 23 days. And as an instructor, you're there to see them from the phase zero from there. And then you see how they grow after 23 days and how they really develop. And from there, I gauge my ways of communicating with them based on how they open up, because sometimes they take a little longer to open up than others. Me growing up on the West Side, you know, I graduated from Waianae, and I've always given that aloha spirit wherever I go, you know. And so because of that, I think it really gives me the privilege of how I speak and communicate to some of our soldiers. You know, if they're more comfortable in the West Side talk, the mok, you know, so that I'm able to tame myself to that level of communication to them, to give them that comfort and building trust, because that's really what you want. And what I would like to give is to give them that trust, a learning trust environment along the way of 23 days that you're with them, because that's not the only time I'll see them. You know, we're such a small island, you know, I mean, you from Texas, right? And then you're here with us, so we're always going to see each other. And so I'd want to be able to maintain that openness and that trust that even when you go back to your unit and you're now a sergeant, staff sergeant, and whatever the path that takes them, I still want them to be able to, hey, you know, come and ask me those difficult questions along the way, because we've been together for 23 days in a classroom.
For that, you're mentioning, so that's the basic leader course. What about the senior leaders or the There's ALC as well. It's in the middle.
I don't teach the ALC class, but my experience as a 42 Alpha Human Resource ALC, same thing, very open, open learning environment. My experience with the ALC class that I had was amazing. I mean, we were a close, tight-knit for 4 weeks, And until this day, we maintain that contact. And matter of fact, because I just came back from my SLC course, senior leader course, my battle buddy roommate was the same person I went to ALC with. And she's from Guam. And when I say it's a small world, she is very close to some of the people that's here in Hawaii. And I actually met one of her very close friends and family, close friend. And he's with the 93rd CST, you know. And it was it's such a small world, you know. We come back to a full circle.
It is. Yeah. It is. Okay, so situational and being patient and mentor and kind of watching. I like when you said the tempo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The tempo of the class.
Like looking at, feeling out your people, right? Feeling out who's in the class. And I love the fact that as an instructor that you provide connectedness and you're essentially their mentor at that point, right? And hopefully you're building these relationships long term. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can say, oh, wow, she knows what she's talking about and I want to talk with her about what I'm doing with or dealing with here in the organization. So I think that's an amazing impact that you have. So thank you.
Yeah, so just kind of follow along with that. If I were to put an actual term or buzzword, I keep saying that, you know, I think the one that always everybody talks about is servant leadership, right? From a leadership style, right? So understanding that in a leadership role, and you don't even always have to necessarily have a designated role assigned to you, right? Just learning that you're there to serve first, right? That's important. And that's the leadership style that I've constantly try to revert back to if I'm, it's kind of my North Star, I guess you can say, when I'm thinking about leadership. But I think what, to be honest, to kind of go back, how it got to where I'm at now, growing up playing sports, right? And you start to develop those accountability pieces, you develop teamwork. And I remember vividly, I was in, going into my senior year, you know, I was going to be a star wide receiver or whatever, and I was very close with my quarterback, and we were looked at as leaders, right? And I remember there was one practice where I was just kind of just not giving it my all. We were doing, at the end, we were doing sprints, just like we always did, and I was just kind of coasting through it. And my best friend, who was the quarterback, right, he actually came in, like, chewed me out. He was like, and from that moment, the message that he tried to get across was that if these younger ones see you doing this, that's what they're going to do, right? So I took that lesson going forward with pretty much how I try to approach everything that I do, lead by example, right? So if I'm now in positions where I'm at now, and since I joined the military, I think that's why it was a great transition for me. Playing sports, joining the military, you still have those team concepts, right? You have leaderships. You're looked at from other individuals, even when you don't feel like you are sometimes. I try to use that same approach. Just that one lesson very early on in age is something that I used and carried forward. So when we talk leadership style, I want to try to lead by example, but more importantly, let my airmen know that I'm there for them. And that's why I'm there. They're not there. They're not there to serve me. It's vice versa, you know. I'm there to serve them. So that's when I talk or what I think leadership style, that's the approach that I use. Lead by example, servant leadership. So
that's a great impact. And, you know, sports does play a large role in some people's lives and developing them. I had something similar as starting freshman year, I joined paddling. And paddling had all the big boys in it, and I was a skinny freshman. Mm-hmm. And I joined, and when we started the practice, we were in a big circle. And the leaders, the captains, were in the middle, and they led and pushed everybody. And I knew at that point, when I'm a senior, I wanted to be in the middle. I didn't want the attention. I wanted the responsibility. But I wouldn't have seen that or been motivated by it if I didn't go through it. So, yeah, sports really helped me as well. And that's a great answer. Sometimes there's not a buzzword for how you lead.
Sure.
So the servant leadership, lead by example, is a great way to to see it and look at it. And I was curious, as chief, what is your leadership style? Because you're the senior NCO in the whole entire Hawaii Guard. Everybody, you're in the middle of the circle. Everybody's looking at you. So what is your leadership style, or what influenced you?
I feel like I'm very collaborative. Like, one of the things as in our positions, you know, getting to know who your people are, right? Starting with a rapport, you know, building that relationship. And then, like you said, Sergeant Akala, with changing the tempo depending on who you're speaking to. But I would say overall, I think it's just about being personable, treating people with respect. And so I feel like I'm a really good servant leader. I'm a good follower too. Like, it's just about the airmen and the soldiers that are under us and just really listening to their stories and what they need. And I think that's what I would say my leadership style is, Jeff.
Okay. So with that comes the leadership traits. You're talking about, you know, being a good listener, resilience, compassion, lead by example. What about a leadership style that is, it's labeled, it's out there, and when would you use it? Autocratic, or, you know, where what I say goes. You mentioned drill sergeant. Do you think that leadership style works in that situation?
I think so, because in my perspective, I think so, because drill sergeants, they have to break those barriers off the bat. And because of the mentality that needs to be instilled in new soldiers that's coming through the training pipeline, from being a civilian, not knowing anything, not knowing or understanding the concept of military, I think drill sergeants has to have that type of approach where it's automatically aggressive off the bat. And once they pass that path of, now I'm a soldier, you know, it kind of gives them a little bit of leniency to know, hey, what can you become from here on? And then I think that's where the BLC comes into play, where it's a little bit structured differently and the communication style is different. And then, you know, moving on to AOC, SLC, MLC, and then maybe on the officer side, I'm sure they have different types of communication skills because that's structured differently from a drill sergeant perspective. And as a matter of fact, going to drill, you know, we see the new soldiers, the RSP program. We see some of those incoming soldiers coming in and see how the drill sergeants really worked hand in hand, like a type of direct leadership with those incoming soldiers. So it's really exciting to see the changes to that as well.
The growth, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So you talk a lot about servant leadership and leading by example. How do you handle somebody who's not leading by example?
So I just wanted to kind of circle back on, if I may, when we talk about that. So one of the things, there was a book that I recently read. It's called Trust and Inspire. And it talks about those different types of leadership styles and what the goal is. And they actually make reference to quite a few military leaders in the book as well. And what we want to strive to is trying to create and foster and cultivate an environment where trust and inspire is kind of the foundation. But in the military, command and control is needed. And that's the approach that they use, right? The autocratic that you were talking about. It's absolutely important that you have that command and control style. You need to know how to use it and when to use it. But I think the foundation, when we're trying to build airmen for tomorrow and leadership, and I wholeheartedly believe you need to use the trust and inspire approach so that when you do command and control, they don't even think seconds like that. Nope, yep, senior said to do it, I got to do it, right? Type of thing. It's not even, they don't even question, right? Because you've created that safe environment. You've created them that they understand that what you say, that maybe not in the moment you can explain the why, which we always want to try to provide to our airmen, is give them the why. But there's moments where we don't have that time, right? I need you to do, I'll give you the why later. But you've built that relationship with them in order to, when you have those moments where you need to just say it and they do, they don't even question it, right? So those are the things that I've been trying to build, things that I felt like within my organization that we've gotten to where, you know, when things need to get done, they don't even second it, right? They just do it. And if I may, can you go back to your question again, specifically?
Oh, so mine was about servant leadership and how you value leading by example.
Right.
How do you handle or how do you deal with a person that may not have that same characteristic right. as a leader?
So it's something that you need to start molding early on, I feel, right? So you, whenever you go into an organization, you want to make these changes, these things that are important to you, right? And whenever you get to a situation where somebody may not align correctly or align with your beliefs or whatever that may be, it's important that, you have to be able to talk and listen to them. You have to understand where they're coming from, right? Because we all have our own stories, right? And their stories are just as valuable, if not more, right? And especially in the leadership to you. So if you understand the way that they click and why they feel the way they do, you can connect with those individuals more than anything and be able to offer a different way of thinking. And I think one of the reasons why someone may not have or be susceptible to change is they've dealt with something in their life, right? That it's like, change is not good. I act the way that I act because of experiences in my life or whatever that may be. So what I was trying to allude to a little earlier as well is once you've cultivated and created an environment where it's safe, people don't feel like shame, like I can be myself. I can say what I need to say when I need to say it. Of course, right? We're in the military, so you want to do it respectfully. But at the same time, people feel like their voices are heard. And when they feel like their voices are heard and they have purpose, I feel like those type of things where we're talking about an airman that may not be aligned with you from a servant leadership style, you'll start to see them slowly change. And I've seen that in airmen where it's like they come from, this is how I was, I say you do. I'm like, that's not the approach that we're going to take. We're going to change that. And sometimes it takes some time. But it's staying consistent.
It's right? Finding that medium. Consistent.
Yes. Medium. It's a balance, right? It's a balancing act. And understanding that, yes, as leaders, when I say something, I expect action. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if that's all you've ever done and you don't provide a little bit more of an explanation to your airmen, give them the why, because that's the generation that we live in now. They want purpose in life. So we need to take the time to give them the why so that they understand the purpose of why they do what they do. And sometimes, like I said, you're going to need action, right? But you've built and cultivated an environment where they already trust you. So when you say, they do.
Sounds like you establish the trust in the relationship. Doesn't matter what leadership style you change to, they've respect you and they'll listen to you as a leader. Mm-hmm. So, that's some of the traits that I wanted to get into next is the active listening. And he just, great example of, listening. And then you also mentioned how to communicate certain ways for specific people in order for them to hear it. With your guys' experience as instructors and now getting to senior NCO level and at senior NCO, with all of your experience, do you see a different with lower enlisted versus peers that you have to lead, that they might not necessarily be leaders, but they need to be team members, but you need to lead. So what are some of the techniques you use to get some of your subordinates to get on board? You talked about one was listening. Are there anything else that you do with subordinates? Not to make them leaders, just to have them trust, to build that trust.
I like to have one-on-one direct leadership. Again, going back to that, is I like personable conversations sometimes with soldiers to get to know them, where that plateau or median is between the two of us. And then from there, I give my trust to other NCOs or someone who I work with that can work directly better with them, because sometimes I can't be that type of leader that can't work directly with them, or maybe the tempo is just so different and I want to be able to give them that opportunity to also work with other people. And again, going back to the style of the level of where they are, you also, in order for them to develop to the next level, you want to coach them and put them in the group where they're comfortable as well in learning. And when you, when I mean by that is, you wouldn't put in an 11 Bravo mixed with a 42 Alpha or someone more in the combat skill.
So an infantryman and an HR specialist.
Yeah, you know, you put that together, it's two complete communication style, you know. But then when you work with them for so long and you build that median and that trust, like you said, then they start to understand what the intent is, and also maybe the senior's intent to that. Yeah, I always go back to how you communicate because it's so important. You know, your nonverbal and just your the way you communicate is very important in building the trust.
Right. So when you were talking about so one thing that I took away from that as well, and something that I had to learn. This was a thing that I definitely had to learn, especially when you get into leadership positions. Mm-hmm. You need to change your approach and the way you think. I was so task, like my day was just all about task. And then when you get into a leadership position, you have to understand it's less about the task, more about the people, because they'll take care of the task, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time initially wanting to do it all, right? Because I knew it was going to get done in the way I wanted it to get done. And I had to, that was actually good feedback, like you talked about, where coming from bottom to top was like, hey, I think you need to take a step back. Allow us to do this. We got this. You got to worry here, right? You got these other areas to worry about. And learning to get that feedback where, being in sports, this was something that we learned very on at early age, being able to take constructive criticism, feedback. It was great to have that feedback. So there's two times so far in my life where in the military that I remember. One was that, take a step back, we got this, boss. Don't worry about it, right? So letting them run their programs autonomously, not feeling like I'm over wanting to be a big part of it or play a major role in it. They got this. And then the other feedback that I actually got was making sure to stay genuine. Be real. Don't feel like you need to do more than what you have to. Because people pick up on that when you're not really being, if you're not being your real self, if you're quote unquote being fake. So those are the approaches that I've learned from, but just kind of following on with you, with what you said, the communication styles, it's having that real conversations with them. Don't be a robot. You know, be in the moment, listen. And that, if there was advice that I had for anybody, especially as they continue to progress and get leadership roles, is the higher you go up, the more you listen, the less you talk, right? That's something that I've tried to really hone in on, like just be in the moment. Don't be worrying about, you know, phone calls or your phone. Or I know it's hard in this day and age, right? We all want to be looking at our phone, especially when we see a message come through. We're like, we want to check it right away. No, be in your moment. Your airman's time is important. And when they realize that the moments that they have with you and you're 100% in those moments, they'll understand that they do feel important.
And right? You notice the same people comes back to you for that advice or for coaching or mentoring because you have that trust and they can build, you have that rapport already with them and they'll just keep coming back. It's like customer service, like excellent customer service.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And then just like a quick, my last deployment when I was, I was doing staff work. It was the first time I ever had to do staff work. But one of the things that I realized very early on, you know, being in that position, that a lot of individuals, especially when as you get higher ranking, you don't really have much people to kind of fall back on and talk with sometimes. So they do say there's that saying, right? You know, at the top, it's lonely at the top, right? And one of the things that I was able to do very early on, because as soon as I got into the position, they're like, all right, you're the forward SEL. You're in charge of this section for the next 3 weeks. The current one is taking leave. So I was like, okay, jumped right into it. It's just having conversations with people. It goes a long way. And you don't realize how important it is to just having a simple conversation. How are you doing today? What's going on?
Yes.
How's the missus? How's the mister? How's the kids? How's the dog? Whatever, right? Just being in the moment and having those genuine conversations goes a long way with building the trust so that when things happen, and you know what, you've already built that.
And I can only imagine you being, you know, coming from another state where that climate is so different coming here to Hawaii, and you know, like the people, the environment is all different, and you being probably new to your unit too, I can only imagine some of that hardship that you probably had to deal with. I mean, knowing myself, when I went to Huachuca and I was like this this girl from Hawaii, and you know, this itty bitty Asian girl going to Huachuca, like, who are you? You know what I did? I brought my chocolates. I brought my chocolates. I brought my aloha. And to me, that was the best part, because I made so many friends, like in the DA civilians at the pay section, which is the most important, by the way. Right? And I, you know, I built so much good relationships to the DA civilians there, which is like a mile away from another building. And then all of the senior instructors there, like everybody all the way to the NETCOM, you know, and I loved it. You know, they really built and they connect with you.
Right.
It's so important.
So one of the things that you meant in the connection, so I was just kind of talking about the relationship building, right? But then actually when you tie that back into mission, right, because you built those relationships, there were so many times now that I built a relationship with an individual that I was able to come in and like, hey, I need this, and they would make it happen, right? So that's how you making sure to build relationships is so important, because it will improve mission. 100%. I agree with that. 100%. I know that there are people that take the approach, and you probably all heard this, like, I'm not here to make friends. Right? And that comment, and I understand a little bit where they're coming from for some respect, right? But yes, we're not here to make friends per se, but we are here to make relationships and build relationships. And if you have that approach initially, because it's a very negative, right, thought process, I feel like, I'm not here to make friends. But if you change your approach, but you are here to build relationships, it's going to, there are so many times where I needed something in a moment, but I had already built a great rapport with someone else in the section lead. I was like, hey, I need this. I need your help. And it's not necessarily senior barrientes coming from asking for that. They're like, no, that's Chris. Like we let's make this happen. How do we help them out? So that's where building relationships, having those conversations, being in the moment, listening, it's going to help and improve mission at the end, because you're, whenever there's something that needs to get done, you can make it happen, because we can't do it on your own. You have to, we're a team, and that's how we're built, right? In the military, we have to depend on other agencies. So
oh, yeah.
You got to make sure you build those relationships.
For sure.
Now, you mentioned the infantry.